Welcome to the School of the Word. This is a revised lesson in our teaching series, The Kingdom Chronicles, titled The Scribe, New Edition. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Terry shared, I have a group called Kingdom Prophetic Society. If anybody'd like to join, just go to kingdompropheticsociety.org and you can join just a group of believers. But Terry is in our society, and the Lord moved on him to share something on our society page in a blog. It's actually up there at the top of how many times it's been read and shared. And so I knew it had this tremendous spiritual word. I'm not going to say it's hard, but it's real. Is that okay? The word is real, and I believe it's from the Lord. And so this is, Terry posted this on January 21st. And this is in light of Finn, his homegoing, and all of that. He said in the blog, I attended a home church meeting several years ago, and I knew I had a word for the host, but could never gain enough clarity to present the word to them. The wife's name was Martha, and in my spirit, I clearly heard, Martha, Martha. I searched the scriptures for the Lord's encounters with Martha, and I kept waiting and seeking to receive more, but never did. A couple of years later, Martha was diagnosed with cancer, and we began praying fervently for her healing. I made several trips to their home and subsequently to the hospital and eventually to hospice, always expecting her healing and expecting more clarification. When I attended her funeral on a Saturday, I managed to get along with her corpse and sought the Lord to see if I might get an unction to command her back to life. When I went to our church the next morning, Bob Jones was there. I told him how fervently we had prayed for her and described how certain I had been that she would receive healing and how I felt so terribly disappointed, confused, and disillusioned. I fully expected Bob to console me and tell me, you poor thing. I was shocked when he actually sort of rebuked me. I'm going to take the word sort of out of there. He rebuked me. He said, listen, you fight every battle like you're going to win. Then when that battle's over, you dust yourself off, lift up your head, and go into the next battle fully expecting to win. We must be careful to not adopt doctrine based on our experiences, but only on the Word. We've lost some hard-fought battles recently, but let's not forget that we've won some. Let's not focus on losses, but let's focus on the times ahead when we will continue to pray and believe. Recently, when I learned that the little boy we had all been praying for and believing for had passed away, I was tempted to be distraught and disillusioned. I forced myself to sing the song we have been singing in Sunday worship. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Now is not the time to stop believing, he said. Now is the time to pick up every weapon we own and prepare for the next battle. Amen. I felt to share that this morning, prompted by the Holy Ghost. And this teaching this morning is going to be a teaching on Chronicles, the words of the day. And I felt like that word that Terry penned there was a word for the day. I felt like it was a word for today, if you could feel it. And I'm wanting to bring us into the mindset and the understanding in this teaching that we're looking for the word for the day. And you say, well, Alan, how I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Well, it's not necessarily that you're supposed to, but you can say yes to it. And we can do that. Just like Terry had a word for the day. Now, in Scripture, that's what the word chronicle means. I know you've all heard of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. It was written by Ezra. 1st Chronicles is the first words of the Hebrew text, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. The Hebrew word means the words of the days. So there you got Ezra, the chronicler, if you will, is writing down the words of the day. Let me show you how it works. When between services, I got up and I walked to the back and had to go to the little boy's room. On the way, I ran into Terry, and he looked at me, and I said, I think I said something to the effect, I need a hug from a big man. Now, most men don't go up to another man and say that. I understand that. But that's what came out of my mouth. And I thought, well, I mean, I meant it and I felt it. Well, when he was hugging me, the Lord said, read what he wrote. Read what he wrote. I knew exactly what it was. Now, that came from the Holy Spirit through a hug. I got a word for the day through a hug. So when we're trying to connect the dots of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us, we need to be aware of what's going on and what's happening. Most things in life have more to do than with the face value of the words that are being said. So the Holy Ghost says, okay, here's the word of the day. I didn't even connect it till I turned around and said the words of the day. Oh, yeah. That's the reason the Lord had me do that. And I'm just giving you as a teaching and understanding that that's the way the Holy Spirit works. You might go up to somebody, they give you a hug. Now, I'd be very sensitive what the Lord don't give you a word for them. I have found that a hug from the Lord is a contagious spirit that speaks truth. Now, as I'm giving you this teaching, I give you this teaching because I believe the Lord wants me to bring it. There again, I didn't know I was speaking until about an hour or so ago, hour and a half. But the Lord spoke to me 2 weeks ago, Alan, I want you to bring this teaching to the church. It's okay. I knew it, so I had it. The Lord says, I want you to bring the teaching to the church. I found myself this morning not preparing any second teaching for today. But yet, I did hear the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago, already had it, and here we are. So it's good for us as Christians to listen to the Holy Spirit as He's preparing us for this world that we're in. We are in an unfriendly environment. Anyone noticed? The church is going to be the safe place. Truth is now considered hate speech. Do you realize that? Truth is now considered hate speech. So the safe place for us believers is in this church with fellow believers. Now, I'm not saying we just retreat here and we don't do anything else, but I am establishing this. We're going to need the church. We need each other. We don't need to exclude anyone because God sends everybody to the church as He sees fit, the Apostle Paul said. Now, what we're looking for on this prophetic understanding, and I want to share with you, this is what I've led the House of Prayer in also on Wednesday nights. If you want to know what we're doing Wednesday nights, it will be something like this. I want you to see it. If we have time, we'll even do a little of it. But if you want to know what we're doing on Wednesday nights, is we're trying to find the word for the day, what we're to pray, what we're to do. Now, this word was written years and years ago, but the Holy Spirit still speaks somebody. The Holy Ghost still speaks. And the Holy Ghost speaking to us is what makes this come alive. It's what makes it reality. His book's just laying here until we make it real. I read a word that Terry wrote. To me, it was tremendously profound spiritually. It touched a lot of people. I can't see the number of times it was... I can see the number of times it was shared. I can't see the number of times it was opened. But it was shared so much. I think at one count, I saw 374 shares. That was within about 5 or 6 hours. And so y'all know how it works, you know, when this stuff goes out. So many people commenting on how it helped them. So the words of the day, we see the chronicler here. Ezra was a chronicler. Can y'all say that? Chronicler. You passed your first test. Now, let's see, I'm not on. That wasn't the Holy Ghost. I just knew it wasn't working. Now, here we go. First and Second Chronicles were written by Ezra. Ezra was called a chronicler, which is the scribe. Esther, if you got First Esther, First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Esther. Ezra, why am I saying Esther? There's my COVID brain again. Ezra. And these things were written as of a scribe writing down the words of the day, so that when the Jewish people went back to Jerusalem, that they knew how to act and what to do in the house of worship. So here we go. Historically, the scribe was called the chronicler. The purpose was twofold. Now, I would like for everyone in here to consider themselves as a scribe. Just hang with me a little bit. If you want to know if you're a scribe or not, I encourage you to get you a journal, a daily journal. And as you pray, listen for the Holy Spirit. Just write down what you think you're hearing. You say, well, Alan, I'm not sure. Write it down anyway. You'll see it to come true. Just write down what you hear in prayer. Just write it down. Get you a journal. I'm asking you, write it down. You're going to need it more now than ever, and you'll see by the end of this teaching. Now, the purpose was twofold. To tell the people about God's ways, First and Second Chronicles, that's what it... Listen, First Chronicles is written about King David. That's what First Chronicles is. It's written about King David. It's written about worship. Second Chronicles is written about Solomon. What did Solomon do? He built the temple. Are you with me? So, you had First Chronicles is about David. He was a worshiper. He was all about worship. Second Chronicles is about Solomon and the building the temple. So Ezra writes these things so they know about worship in the temple. So as we're scribes and we are writing things, most of the content, if you'll just watch the Holy Ghost, it's not most, but I'm going to say 50% of the content is going to be about worship in the temple. Now, hang with me here. With the emphasis of worship. So that's what it was. The emphasis, you had the worship, you had the temple, but there was emphasis on worship. So when we read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we have to ask ourselves, why was the emphasis on worship? Well, we would have to admit it must be a big deal, right? You see, when we come to church, we come to preaching, this is about you. When we worship, it's about Him, right? So the worship service is broken down in two phases. One's we worship God first, and then God says, okay, now y'all can talk a little bit. But did you know that worship can so expand that He starts speaking during worship? That expanse is a supernatural phenomena that I've had the privilege to sit in a time or two, and some of y'all have too. It's the expanse of worship. But when we understand First and Second Chronicles, we understand that emphasis is to be there. So when we come and worship, we're not waiting for the worship to be over. to hear the message. That's right. That's right. I want to say something so bad I can't stand it, but I'm not going to say it. It's about half spirit and half flesh, and we'll leave that one off. Okay. The chronicler or the scribe wrote to help the people of God in a new situation. First, Second Chronicles, Ezra, scribe writing, because Ezra knew that they were going to go back into a new situation. They're in Babylon, 70 years exiled from Jerusalem. Ezra writes so the people will know what to do when they get back there. So that's what we call a new situation. The prophetic today is a word from a scribe that is to help people in a new situation. Are you with me? They've never been here before. That's how real this book is. We prophetically help people in a new situation. And it is to help restore family in the nation. To tell about restoring the temple. And to restore worship. So as we see ourselves in here today, we are about restoring two things. It's worship and the temple. That's the two. There's a lot of other things, but 1st, 2nd Chronicles, and with the scribe, it was a big issue to restore worship and the temple. Now, he also wrote to help answer the following questions. Is God still interested in us? The scribe, the prophetic person. You must understand when God speaks through you prophetically that the person on the other end is wondering if God is even interested in them. Somebody hear me, please. Throw something at me. Do you hear what I'm saying? The other person is wondering, is God interested in me? Or the Lord wouldn't, the Holy Ghost wouldn't lead you in a word. And you can have a word for somebody and go up to them, but I promise you, if you'll write that word down, go up and give it to them, you can walk off. I just encourage you to consider in your words, just write them down, go up to somebody and say, well, I can't talk to people. That's all right, I'd rather you didn't. Write it down as a scribe, give it to the person, and go on. I've been given words that the Lord gives me. I write them down, put them in my billfold, knowing it's for somebody. Only 2 or 3 weeks later, I say, the Lord says, there they are. And I'm like, okay. I just pull it out, not even remembering what I put on. I just pull it out because I know that's where it's supposed to go. But I get that in prayer. It's in prayer. The Lord gives a word. You don't have to wonder where it goes. You just got a word. That's what it is. You're a scribe. You are a chronicler. Now, they're asking themselves this question. Are his covenants still in force? Are God's promises? That's what the other person's wondering. Here again, I hate to use myself as an example. I've had a few success stories. I will share with you those. I will not share with you my failures. But in one of my success stories, I've mentioned this before in times past. It just come to my mind, so I'll use it. And I was at this restaurant, and I was eating. The Lord gave me a word, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And the Lord told me to put $100 in it. So I put $100 in it, and the waitress came back there. We get ready to leave. I gave it to her. And I don't know. I know it was a year. It might have been 2 years later. I went back in the same restaurant. Didn't go there much, but I went in there. And this lady came running over to me. She said, you're the one. You're the one. I was like, oh, my gosh. I didn't remember. You know what I'm saying? I said, you're the one. I said, what did I do? And she said, you gave me that thing from God. And I remembered. She said, it's still on my refrigerator. Me and my daughter read it every morning. She said, I said, if you're out there, I've got to have $100 by Friday. She said, you're the one. And I didn't remember it. I had somebody eating with me when she came running over. I thought, oh, no, they'll think I've been hitting on that woman or something. You know, I was like, oh, gosh, I was just frantic. I'm like, I don't know what this is. And there again, I hate to use myself as an example. I always tell the people I mentor, don't use yourself as an example. And I just did that. So, but I'm asking you, to see my example. I'm not all that. And y'all already know that. But what I am saying, that is real. That's what a chronicler is. That's what we're doing. Now, so people are wondering, is God interested in me? Are his promises still out there? Are they still in force? Well, the scribe or the chronicler or the prophetic person is that person who makes it real for today. Will he speak into our circumstances? That's kind of the three or so main questions. Will God speak into our circumstances? And so when we write something down, we're a scribe and we hear from God. And trust, in my life, God speaks to me through the day. I'll just jot it down. At the most inopportune times, I can be busy just running wide open and God says, gives me a word. I'm like, okay, I got it. But I have learned, stop, Alan. You won't remember it. Write it down. I'll stick it back. And then I wait for the opportunity. God says, now. Some of y'all heard my teaching, jump. That's what he said, jump, now. Do it, move. And I just move. And I have learned, listen, the Holy Spirit of God, I call it God, it's God's spiritual makeup. When we put it on, it makes us look better than we really are. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, the person's like, wow. And you're sitting there thinking, you're just seeing my makeup. If you saw the real me, you might be disappointed. But yet, that's the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and mercy. Now, there's a call. The call that was left to Israel was the rebuilding of the temple and his holy service of worship, which was the psalm. The call that is left to us is the rebuilding of our lives, the temple, so we will worship him in spirit and in truth and with power. Worship in the temple. New Testament scribe, worship in the temple. In other words, we're speaking to the temples of God. We know we are now the temple. So what are we rebuilding? Worship and the temple. Is anybody's temple done? No. We're still working at it. So keep this in mind as I move. We know today we are the temple of God. Will we worship him is the question. It's a big deal. Worship's a bigger deal than we know. Will we write of the rebuilding of our temples and how we worship? We are writing a chronicle of our lives and how God is rebuilding our worship and this temple in which the Spirit of God resides, about the Kingdom Chronicles. Now, on Wednesday nights, we do what we call a Kingdom Chronicle. I'm sure most of you don't know that unless you come. But on Wednesday nights, we do what I'm basically teaching you now. We build what I call a Kingdom Chronicle. You say, well, is that in the Bible? No, not really. That's just the name I felt like the Lord gave me to give it, to call it. He called it a Kingdom Chronicle. And what happens is we will be asking the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us concerning things. That's what we do, house of prayer. About personal things, local things, regional things, national things and international things. So on the House of Prayer, Wednesday nights, we cover this, and here's where we tend to get it from, Acts 1:7-8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we're under this idea that when we come together in the House of Prayer, that we will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on us. And we hit a point of unity that's just incredible through these chronicles. We'll be my witnesses. That's the personal part. Jerusalem's locally, Judea regionally, Samaria nationally. Ends of the earth is internationally. Now, it says this in Matthew 13. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, not to them. Whoever has will be what? Given more, and he will have a what? An abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be what? taken away. I mean, I'm like, God, that's a little tough, isn't it? Well, when we get together as a scribe, or if you're your own scribe at home, what you got to understand, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. That's what the book says. So, you need to consider that there's some secrets out there that you don't know yet. But you got to understand, according to the Lord, it's given to you, whether you know it or not. We just got to go get it. So it does require a little effort on our part to go into this. The secret of the scribe revealed, I call it. Now go with me here just a second. Then said he unto them, this is Matthew 13:52, therefore every scribe, you see that? Which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, every scribe that is instructed where? Into the kingdom of heaven. So as scribes and Wednesday night as we get together, you got to understand, we are being instructed by the things of the kingdom of heaven. It's like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure, some translation says treasure, some says satchels, things new and old. So he brings out of his treasure things new and things that are old. So we get together, okay? We're scribes and we're going to be instructed in the things of the kingdom. And we're going to bring things out of a treasure that's new and old. So the secrets are in the treasure. But he says, as a scribe, we can pull some things out. It's just a supernatural phenomena that's given to the church of God. That we can pull these things out and they'll be relevant for today in a person's life, someone who's not sure if God even knows they exist. Y'all, this is very important. I call it the day of the scribe because are you familiar with Matthew 13? The parable of the scribe is the last of eight parables in Matthew 13 about the secrets of the life of the kingdom. Now, the parables are, y'all know them, the sower, wheat and tares, the mustard seed, leaven, buried treasure, pearl of great price, and the net. And then the eighth one, or the last one, is called the scribe. Now, I want you to look at that. Those first four, you see that? The sower, wheat and tares, the mustard seed, and leaven, the first four. The first four parables of Matthew 13 is speaking about what the church looks like in the world. Are you with me? Matthew 13 is very important. If you don't get anything else I say today, please get this. Matthew 13, first four parables. The sower, y'all remember the sower, word, some fell by the wayside, stony ground, hard heart. That's about an individual in the church. So if you want to know what you and I look like, you go to Matthew 13, read the first parable. Our hearts are like the word of God gets sown in them. Some of it's a hard ground, some stony, thorny, and wayside ground, which is hard ground. It's speaking about our hearts. Our hearts become hard or stony. So the first parable is speaking about us in the church. Second parable is speaking about the church, wheat and tares. Y'all know the parable of the wheat and tares, speaking about the church in the world. What will it look like? We say, well, I'm not going to church with that bunch of hypocrites. Listen, I hope you can hear me here. I can't build this point, but we were all tares until God supernaturally converted us into a wheat. You got her? We were all tares. You know what a tare is? A weed. A weed is something that's in the wrong field. That's what a weed is. In other words, you can take a corn plant in a wheat field and it's a tare. It's in the wrong field. So we were all tares. And through this supernatural being born again thing, he borns us again into a wheat. So he says in the wheat and tares, he said, leave them alone. Right? Why does he say leave them alone? He's going to see how many can get converted. Leave them alone. They're all going to come in here. They say, well, I'm not going to church with them bunch of lost people. You need to read your Bible. We want everybody to come in here, good, bad, and ugly, according to the Word. And then hopefully we can change. Would to God that a tare couldn't walk in here but what they left of wheat. So, first one's about the believer. Second one's about what the church looks like. The third one's about the church, mustard seed. It says it's this plant that grows up and the fowls of the air comes and sets in its branches. Well, a mustard plant's not about this big. So it says it grows up into a tree. So we know that that's abnormal growth. The mustard bush grows up in this huge tree, and it says the fowls of the air, we know what the fowls of the air are, it's the evil one, will come and set in its branches. So what that's meaning, when a church gets too big for its britches, the fowls of the air will land in its branches. Are you with me? So that's talking about, the mustard seed's talking about the church in the world. Then you go to leaven. You know about leaven and the lump. It's talking about the church. If we come in here to this church, we don't want to have a whole lot more tares than we got wheat. Why? Because the tares will take over. It'll leaven the whole lump. So when the wheat and tare parable works, it's that a tare can't stay in an assembly for several weeks and it'll turn into a wheat. You see that? But then another example of a church is where it's more lost. We have homosexuality coming from the pulpits and preachers. I read an article this week where up in New York that this one church, the pastor came out dressed in drag, you know, dressed as a woman, and he called all the kids up to do children's church. It's called Leaven in the Lump. That's the church in the world. Then we got, so the first four parables are about what the church will look like in the world. And guess what? We look just like it. Just like Jesus said. Church is not going to look perfect. It's a perfect message. Right? But then the next one's a buried treasure. The next three, pearl of great price in the net. The next three parables is talking about what God is doing behind the scenes on behalf of the church in the world, first four parables. See, the next three parables are about what God's doing about the first four. Buried treasure. He says there was a treasure hidden in a field. You remember that? Man sells all that he's got and he goes after the treasure. Right? A pearl of great price. I personally think the treasure in the field is more about the nation Israel. There's a reason I can tell you that. Don't have time. Pearl of great price is talking more about the body of Christ. Jesus gave his life for both of them, the treasure. Man sold all that he had for that pearl. I've heard it preached on Jesus, the pearl of great price. And that's not what I said. You are the pearl of great price. And Jesus gave all that he had to purchase you. Then he calls us a pearl, but he does say of great price. Right? So we're the pearl. That's what God's doing behind the scenes on behalf of the church and the world. And then he goes on the net. That's where he throws the net out. It's kind of like the wheat and the tares. You know, it's like a man, he throws the net out and he pulls in all kinds of fish. And those fish will be separated. The angels will do that separation. Is who will do it at the time of the end. Then we've got number eight called the scribe. That's what today's teaching is on. Is on the scribe. Now, the scribe is the prophetic person. The scribe is writing in light of the first seven parables. The scribe is writing on behalf of the church in the world and on behalf of what God's doing behind the scenes. So when we prophesy to somebody that's in the world, we're prophesying what God's doing behind the scenes on their behalf. Is everybody kind of with me there? You say, well, Alan, you're stretching me a little. Well, you don't need to come here unless you stretch. I've been stretching the wire all my life. build fences. So it's supposed to stretch you. I'm supposed to bring things maybe you haven't heard before, but you'll know if what I'm saying is true or not because you'll feel a witness in here. You might not like me for it, but you'll feel that witness. Go with a witness, not by me. So then the scribe is the last one. Now, the first set of parables in two sections, I've already went over that. The first four parables are about the church and the world, what you can expect to see. This shows what the local church will look like. The next three parables tell about what God is doing and has done about the church from a heavenly viewpoint. It will look like Satan is winning, but he is not. The eighth parable deals with our responsibility or the response to the first seven parables. So you got this eighth one at the end of the age, you got the scribe. And this scribe is to make the first seven parables real. We respond and we react out of these first seven parables is what the scribe does. Now the eighth and the last parable, and I'm not going to get through this whole teaching, but it's okay. I am going to get to a good point. I was wanting to do lab in here. I was going to set somebody up here. We were going to speak a parable over them. We're not going to have time for all that, but we do it on Wednesday nights. So if you want to see it in action, come on Wednesday nights. But let's look at this. The eighth and last parable is about new beginnings. That's what the number eight means. Are you with me? That's what that word means. New beginnings. So the scribe is the person who speaks of new beginnings. And please hear me. When you do this, it's not true because I say it. It's because when you do it, God is the one who anoints. So when we go through the process, all of a sudden we'll see this great anointing. The eighth parable, new beginnings. The scribe is what? Is what? You see that. The scribe is what? Instructed. Now here's what the word is. I can't say it. Matthew, Yuhu, I guess, like one of you who drinks or something, but there it is. It's from 3101 to become a what? A pupil. Enroll as a scholar. You see that one? So when the Bible says we are to be a scribe, and to be a scribe is something you have to say yes to. Dear God, I want to walk in this gift of the scribe. A scribe is someone who is willing to become a pupil. In other words, you're willing to be taught. You're not coming to the table with all the answers. You have an attitude of you're willing to be taught, but you're enrolling to be a spiritual scholar. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? That's huge. That's big. But it's reachable. How do we give a prophetic word? It's because you've been taught, you've enrolled to being a scholar. A scholar is somebody who knows what you're talking about. Now what's this? The first key word of the scribe in Matthew then is the kingdom. Kingdom means to properly, it talks about royalty, rule, a realm. It's about kingdom reign. So here we see, so we're talking about the kingdom. So we're to become a scholar. We're to be taught in the things of the kingdom, which means that we will have kingdom reign. That's what this, I'm just dissecting the verse of the scribe. Next key word is heaven. Through the idea of elevation, the sky, extension, heaven, abode of God, implication, happiness, power, eternity, especially the gospel. So what are we being taught, those things? What are those things in the kingdom? It's right there. Talks about heaven. Then it says it's treasure. A treasure is a deposit, wealth. So when we are, as a scribe, we're enrolled, we're a scholar, we're going to give somebody a write it down, a word of the day for somebody. What you realize is you've already been made a deposit on your behalf with this, which has great wealth to give to somebody. All right? The next words are things new of uncertainty, ephemerity, in freshness. It's properly so with respect to age. You're going to give somebody a freshness, a fresh word. Things old is things that are antique. It's when we reach in there, things old and new, it says, the things that are old, that are things that are ancient or antique, which is the Word of God, the ways of God, the morality of God. These are the old things, but we're bringing some old and some new. The new things, we're in a new situation. I'm going to put those definitions. Y'all heard the definitions, right? I'm going to put those definitions in what I call a chronicle. I'm just going to put them together in a word. Now, I had a lot more after this, but we're out of time. But I just want you to see what it is. A scribe, I'm just putting these words together, putting them in a paragraph. A scribe is a disciple who enrolls himself or herself to become a scholar in the things of the kingdom. Their life reflects one who will rule and reign in the realm of the kingdom. Their source is the abode of God, which is heaven. The reflection of their face is happiness, which is where the power for eternity is hidden. Their treasures are not of this world, but are found within. Their treasures of wealth have been deposited in their hearts by the way of the hand of God. They are open to new and fresh perceptions. They recognize the value of the old and make room for the freshness of creating with God. It's of great necessity that we would have had time to have done one, a chronicle. It was just, but there again, every Wednesday night we do this. And you can ask people who come. It's just, the last Wednesday night, it was just phenomenal. I mean, I couldn't believe how God was speaking to us. It was just phenomenal on what God was saying and is doing. So I know that I'm leaving you a little bit incomplete. I know that, and I really hate that. But I'm trusting by the Spirit, you're capturing and catching what I'm suggesting and how this thing works, of hearing from God. Now, there again, I believe we're living in a time that God is needing scribes everywhere, writing down a word from the Lord to give to those people who are wondering, does God even know I'm here? Are God's promises still true? God, just speak from heaven. We are to be equipped and be a people that delivers that mail. Can you believe that? I was in a meeting, and I'll close with this. But I was in a meeting, and it was about 4,000 people there, and I was there with someone. We were worshiping everything, and there was a main speaker there, and the Lord said to this guy, here's a word I want you to give to that speaker. It's 4,000 people there. We were actually in the balcony. And so he wrote it down on a piece of paper. He said, I don't want to say to him. I said, you don't say nothing to him. You write it on a piece of paper, give it to him, keep walking. He doesn't know who you are, and he'll never see you again. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper. And what he wrote down on the piece of paper was about another leader in which I knew. And these two men had fell out years before then. They had fallen out of relationship with each other. So I asked this guy, what his word? And his word was, he wrote the man's name and phone number on it and said, call him. He folded it up and he took it down there. I saw him going across. I was like, oh my gosh. And he went down there and he went up to the guy. He was sitting down. He just said, here, this is for you. And he kept going. And the guy went, And then this next week, I was on the weekend. This next week, this guy that he put the name and phone number on called me. He said, Alan, you're not going to believe who called me. I said, who? And he told me. I said, how did it go? He said, everything's right. Everything's right. Is that not, now to me, I don't know, that moves my needle. I don't know if it moves your needle or not. But he sort of made me draw up when he told me. You know what I'm saying? It just makes you want to draw up. There's a part of you just, oh, come on. That's a little out there. But then that leader, that relationship between those two leaders was healed over somebody being a scribe and listening to the Spirit and being obedient. There again, you don't have to give a speech. Just give a piece of paper. All right? Well, I hope you still love me.
Yes.
No, I don't. I don't. It was incredible,
the
way.
Total healing, the baby Thursday when they airlifted, this baby was born.
Oh.
A hole in the lungs, full of fluid, they airlifted it to Charleston, to a big hospital. The next day, you know,
yeah.
That baby's
going to
be
wait, come up here. They can't, I know what's going to happen. I'm online, Alan. I couldn't hear a thing. So here we come on up here. This happened Wednesday night.
I was not here. My wife's niece had a child born with a hole in his lung. Fluid filled in the lung. She called me, please pray. Well, whether it's one or two more is better.
Uh-huh.
I said, call Sister Kathy. So you all prayed. Mm-hmm. There was words over that child.
Yeah.
I think your wife said there was going to be flesh. God says he did Adam.
Right.
The next day, and they believed it was going to be healed. They airlifted it Wednesday night to the hospital. Thursday, they did all their testing, the x-rays. The big hospital called back to Virginia and said, why did you airlift this child here? There's no hole in the lung. There's no fluids in the lung. Total healing.
Amen.
I mean, I came from Wednesday night.
To God be the glory. And we don't understand this. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. But that's where the word that the Lord gave Terry comes into line. We don't win them all. But what do? We dust ourselves off. We get up and we hit our next battle head on, like we're going to win it. Amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day that you've created. We thank you for this miracle. I believe the child was under a week old.
It was just born Wednesday.
Miracle happened on
Wednesday night,
just born. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for this miracle. We thank you, oh God, for the miracle of Finn being on this earth for 4 years. He completed, I believe, evidently, what you sent him here to do. I know the family misses him desperately. But yet, oh God, it's amazing. It's amazing what you do with us all. Lord, we thank you for this miracle of the lung being healed. And I ask and pray, oh God, and I pray for and anoint this congregation in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit. I anoint them as to be a congregation of scribes, that we could be the arm of the Holy Spirit that would speak into chaos. Let us be like a coffee bean in the water. Let us, oh God, change the atmosphere. Let us change the color of the water. Don't let the water change us. Let us, oh God, affect this culture that we're in for the kingdom of our God. And the house of prayer said, amen.